difference to find an agent.
Welcome to the Grilling Truth Natural Medicine Show with Dr. Bill Grohm. I'm your host, Mike Goodpaster, and I want to welcome in the good doctor from the Family Healing Center in Kenwood, Ohio, Bill Grohm. How you doing tonight, Bill?
I'm doing well, Mike. I appreciate you putting me on tonight and just being able to share some information with you, with your listeners.
All right. We had our first show a little over a week ago and got good numbers, so I want to thank everybody for listening in. You brought up something about lard and frying with lard and how it was healthier than everything else, and we've had a couple messages sent to the show email and then a couple posts on Facebook with people wanting to know how lard is healthy or healthier. Do you want to first touch on that before we go into our next subject?
Sure, I sure will. I appreciate it. And I want to appreciate your listeners for, you know, listening in and asking questions because, like I said, I'm just trying to get information out to them and share information. But, yeah, the lard aspect is, lard is considered an omega-9. And without getting into too much detail, the body actually can break it down and assimilate it fairly well. But as far as in comparison to other oils, it is a better oil for you and is a better fat for you because you obviously have an animal fat in you because we're mammals. So it is something that the body will use and break down. Now, again, like with anything, too much of anything can create issues. So you got to be careful in what you're doing and how you have your different oils in the body, whether it's olive oil or coconut oil or anything. So,
it's not necessarily that lard is healthy for you. It's just healthier than canola oil, vegetable oil, stuff like that.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Correct.
All right.
That's the best way to put it.
We'll go ahead and move along to our topic for tonight, which is heartburn, causes of it, and how you can naturally deal with heartburn. I know I've seen a lot of people, even my friends on social media, that are always asking about that. So you want to talk a little bit about heartburn and the causes?
Sure. Heartburn is actually, and the best way I can put this in to give a visual is when you have a compost pile, like you take your organics out there and you make a pile for your garden, and every day or every other day or every few days you go out there and you turn over the compost pile, because if you don't, what happens is it starts to smell and putrefy, and there's a gas that comes off and really starts to stink. And really that's what enzymes do in the stomach. So when you eat something, if you don't have enough enzymes to turn that food over and to break it down properly, it starts to smell and putrefy, and what you get is that gas relief, just like your compost pile. There's a release on the gas, and what happens is it goes up your pipes, you know, it goes right up your esophagus, and it starts to create a burning action because obviously we're dealing with hydrochloric acid, so that's the release of it, and it causes an irritation in the esophagus. So when I try to explain this to people as far as heartburn, you know, what is it? Heartburn's actually a lack of digestive enzymes in the stomach, not being able to break the foods down quick enough. And so the food stays in the stomach too long before it goes into the small intestine. So it works out,
now,
you know, as far. Go ahead.
Now, I've noticed with the heartburn and stuff that it's usually if I eat something late at night. I mean, is that something that's normal, or am I just abnormal as normal, or as usual?
Well, you're a little bit abnormal. We know that, Mike. That's not a question.
Yeah.
But in other regards, as far as eating late at night, usually people go to bed, and so now the stomach isn't in a position to where it can move the food from the stomach to the small intestine. You might be laying on your back, and so it kind of tends to want to sit in the stomach a little too long because of the positioning. That is one of the things that is important to do when you eat, as far as, you know, not saying someone needs to sit straight up when they eat, but if you're sitting incorrectly or you lay down on your back, it can cause a problem. So positioning is important.
You talked a little bit about the day. You want to talk a little bit about the different enzymes in the digestive tract?
I do, yeah, because I don't know if everyone knows, and I try to keep things simple. But there are different enzymes in the stomach, and I want to cover a few of them so people understand what they do, and maybe it may help them as far as when they go to a store or something and they're looking to buy enzymes. The big one, of course, is called hydrochloric acid, betaine hydrochloride. And what that does is it actually helps break down your proteins in your body so that another enzyme called pepsin can break it down even further. And one of the big things of hydrochloric acid is it actually kills off some of the bad bacteria that are on your food that, you know, people will get sick from. So if you get kind of a nausea feeling right after you eat, like within, you know, 15 minutes or 30 minutes, then there's a pretty good chance that there's something going on with your levels as far as the hydrochloric acid. But one of the big things I don't think people realize is as you get older, your body tends to make less hydrochloric acid. Now, which is important, the reason it does it is because a lot of people eat processed foods. The more natural foods you eat that aren't processed, the body will actually make more hydrochloric acid. So you can build it back up, you know, if there's an issue, but you might need a supplement, you know, temporary supplement to get things moving. That's one of the biggest ones.
Is there any particular supplement that you recommend?
And that one, really, you can go to a health food store and just get, you know, I mean, you can pretty much buy betaine hydrochloride over the counter. There's not one company that I would say is the best. They're pretty flexible as far as quality on that one. It's not a there's not really a big difference in that one. And one of the other enzymes that you run into that actually bromelain and papain are two enzymes that are used in the system, and you actually get it from pineapple. So I do recommend people eating some pineapple when they sit down to have dinner or lunch or breakfast even. But bromelain and papain, what they do is they both are enzymes that help break down foods in the system, obviously. And one of the big things of the bromelain, which is interesting, bromelain is used on food as a digestive enzyme, but if you take bromelain on an empty stomach, and I'm talking about in which case now you're obviously buying a over-the-counter bromelain, what it does is it actually is an anti-inflammatory to the body. So, but the key to taking bromelain is taking it on an empty stomach. And if you tie bromelain in with turmeric, which is another enzyme that the body uses in the stomach, what it does is those two work excellent as far as helping joint pain. And it helps with, and turmeric is also really good for cardiovascular even, and even GI tract issues. So what you run into is on those two enzymes, they work well with food and they work well without food. So if someone's having joint pain, you know, take those two without food. And what's my definition of without food? Well, if you eat lunch at 12 o'clock, but usually by 1:30 or 2, your stomach's pretty much empty or should be empty if you got the right amount of enzymes. And then what happens is you could take the turmeric and the bromelain, and what it'll do is it'll help break it down. One of the other things that I was thinking about, too, is I know there's probably a few listeners out there that have issues with dairy. And dairy, how do you know if you have what they call lactose intolerant? Usually when you're lactose intolerant, what happens is about 30 minutes to an hour after you eat, your stomach actually produces the lactase is produced, and what it does is that's what breaks down the lactose, well, the dairy products. And if it doesn't produce enough lactase to break that down, that's when people get an upset or bloating, upset stomach, gas type things. So at that point, you are looking at a lactase deficiency in that enzyme, which is really kind of an interesting, but again, it's something that can be corrected. And you can look at bile salts. Bile salts have lactase in it, and it's something that that's over-the-counter too. I mean, the things we're looking at, you know, we're looking at food and simple cost-effective things that will help.
So that, everything on this, from what I see, always comes down to what you put in your body food-wise. It's kind of like a car. You put bad gas in it, it's not going to run right.
Right, exactly, right.
And I know a lot of people, I mean, my big question is this, because, I mean, I used to have this problem a lot, especially, you know, I gain weight in the winter, but I would take the Pepcid, the Prilosec, all that stuff, and then I started reading up about it and how actually it can eat the inside of your stomach out, basically. You want to talk about antacids and whether to stay away from them or not?
Yeah, that's a good point. The antacids, actually, what they do is they lower your hydrochloric acid in your stomach. And So what happens is you may start off with an antacid, you know, and you just move up to the different brands to where it gets stronger and stronger. What you want to do is if you're getting the heartburn, which is why people take the, you know, the over-the-counter antacids, they're looking to get relief. And what you want to do is lower and add more hydrochloric acid so the body will break that food down faster and shove it through to the small intestine. That's what you're looking to do. But, you know, in the meantime, what you can do, I'll tell you a real good one. I just thought about this was papaya. And papaya actually does help with heartburn and indigestion. And you can actually buy papaya pills. There's different ones out there. I just like the regular plain papaya. I know there's some other ones out there that have mint-flavored. Not a big fan of mint-flavored papaya, but there is. But you can buy, like I said, a pill that is papaya, or you can just start eating it. And again,
well,
that comes
what's
back
better?
To what
is it better
saying.
To take the pill, or is it better to actually consume a papaya?
It's better to consume a papaya. And like you were saying, it's better to eat better. You'll do better. But you can't always carry a papaya in your pocket. Do you know what I mean? When you're out in a restaurant.
Yeah.
So have
you
a bottle.
Could, but it'll
around.
Be nasty as hell when you go to eat it.
Well, yeah, it'll be all smashed. I
mean. Yeah, I got a dog and cats that run around here. I got hair all over. I'd end up eating a hairy papaya. I don't know if that would help or not. But so what should a person take for heartburn? I can tell you myself, when I read about that, I started just taking like a teaspoon of baking soda and water. But, I mean, what is the best thing to eliminate heartburn when you have a problem at night with heartburn?
Papaya. Grab a bottle of pills and just you can eat them like candy. It's not like you can overdose on them. But if you've been doing some if you know that's an issue, that still comes back to, okay, do I need a digestive enzyme? You know, what do I need? And then make sure you take it with your food. And then the other part is, you know, if it's still coming up, take the papaya, because sometimes when you're making these corrections, it takes a little bit of time. I like instant cures like everybody else, but sometimes it takes a little time, and that's what I'm looking at. But the as far as the baking soda really is it has a good part in the body in some areas, but when you're taking it just plain like that to calm the stomach, it's an antacid, and what it does is it slows that down again, and now we're back to square one.
All right. Now, I was reading about something the other day. I'm not sure how to say it, so you're the doctor, so you can correct how I say this.
Give it a shot.
I was reading about something called high pylori. Is that correct, how you say that?
Yeah, H. pylori, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, bacteria and how it can possibly cause stomach pain and ulcers. Will any of these enzymes help in a person with that, and can you explain what the high pylori does?
Yeah. H. pylori, it's kind of, and it had a lot of big information on it. You know, a few years back, I would say it really started hitting the news and people were concerned about it. There are some enzymes like the hydrochloric acid will help in some, because again, well, let me back up a little bit. Let me give you a little information about H. pylori and how it works. It'll probably help out your listeners. H. pylori is actually a bacteria, obviously. And what it does is once it gets into the stomach or the small intestine, it has a, like I say, a little tail on it or a little attachment, and it'll attach into the lining of the stomach or the small intestine. Now, the body has hydrochloric acid, it'll dissolve it. That's where it actually is kind of a misnomer. When that bacteria hits that stomach and locks in there, it produces an enzyme called urease. And urease, actually what it does is it when it gets into the stomach, it helps produce the urea, which in turn is an alkaline substance, okay? And it's also like a bicarbonate, which is what you were talking earlier about as far as your baking soda. So now we're lowering that pH, and it neutralizes the stomach. And so then what happens is as that pH and that neutralization, or gets more neutral, I should say, what happens is now the stomach still tries to produce stomach acid, but there's a weakness in the lining, and it just kind of eats away at that, at the weakness in that area. And so that's what happened. Now, there actually, they did a, there was a study back in 2009, and what they found was there's a plant, it's actually in Greece, I think it's Greece, if I remember right, a tree, I think it is, but they called it the mastic gum, M-A-S-T-I-C, mastic gum. And what it does, it actually produces an enzyme, which actually has been shown to kill 99.9% of the seven different strains of the H. pylori. And there's even been some studies showing that it actually helps against some of the drug-resistant strains of H. pylori. So, again, it's something simple, and you can actually, you know, go to the store, you can get it, you can go online. But if you take something like mastic gum and some ginger, ginger's another great herb that helps with digestion, and some betaine hydrochloride and a little papine, like I was talking about, the pineapple, then that combination is an excellent combination for someone who has, you know, that issue going on as far as the stomach ulcers and so forth. The one thing you got to watch a little on is the dosage on your hydrochloric acid, you know, depending on how bad your stomach acid is, or not, or sorry, ulcer is.
Yeah.
So.
Alrighty.
Okay.
All right, so Bill, what is there? So do we have a topic yet for Friday's show?
Well, what I thought I would do is, you know, let your listeners pick a topic. And, you know, send in some comments of some things that they would like to know some more about. And, you know,
all right,
see what
so
I
let's
can
do this. If you're a listener out there and you want us to go after any topic, naturally, natural medicine, you can actually send us a email at thegruelingtruth@gmail.com. So you can send your questions there, and we will come up with a topic off of that, or just wherever the show's posted. You can go on our website, ask a question, but remember, you can go to thegruelingtruth@gmail.com and send us an email. You can go to thegruelingtruth.net, which is our website. You can also send us messages on there. You can attach it to the show. You can check us out on Spreaker, iTunes, and Stitcher. Any final words, Bill?
No, I just, like I said, I appreciate your audience, and hopefully this is good information for them. And like I said, if they got questions, you know, feel free to ask.
All right. Well, we will see you guys again Friday, because we had to push the show back here a little bit because Bill is such a busy man. Correct.
Well, some things come up. Yep, some things do come up, and I do apologize to your listeners for that.
Me too on other days, so we would have done it yesterday if it wasn't for me. But all right, guys, so make sure you check out all our shows. Go to thegruelingtruth.net. Tomorrow night we'll have former Cincinnati Bengal Pro Bowl quarterback Jeff Blake, former Chicago Cub, New York Yankee pitcher John Lieber. Thursday night we will have the former IBF junior middleweight champion of the world, Vince Phillips. And we'll also have our top 10 quarterbacks in NFL history with myself, Matt Andrew Scavage, Joe Rodriguez. So for Dr. Bill Grome, I'm Mike Goodpaster. This is the Grueling. You've been listening to The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.